Welcome to another episode of 10 Minutes With, supported by the PHA Group, where we meet with entrepreneurs and business leaders from around the world to find out what makes them tick. Today, we're joined by Ian McIntosh, CEO of Red Driving School. Having built a successful career for himself in the food industry, Ian made the decision to take over the business when it was on the brink of collapse and steered it towards success. Now the UK's largest driving school, Red has over 1,500 driving instructor franchisees who teach over 100,000 students to drive each year nationwide, the latest of which, Little Mix band member Perry Edwards. Red also provides a fleet training offering for businesses. Ian is a member of Pascal, the EU consortium established to help decipher the landscape and social impacts of autonomous vehicles, and has established himself as a leading authority on road safety, appearing often in national newspapers and broadcast outlets to discuss the latest changes to driver legislation. Welcome, Ian. Thank you for being with us today. So I just wondered if you could tell us a little bit about Red Driving School and how you came to be at the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Red, as you say, is now the largest driving school. We're also the largest trainer of driving instructors in the UK. And it's a very dynamic business, and people say, what do you do, you know, during the day, what's your role? And it's actually about marketing, it's about fleet, so managing our fleet of cars. And they're the two things that we're most engaged with, social media and fleet in that sense. So it's a really great business with happily now a good reputation in the industry.
Brilliant. And I know that you've kind of come from a food industry background. How have you found it moving into a franchise-based business?
Well, it is very different. It is very different, to be fair. But, you know, I had many years in the food industry, including a very important spell with Mars Incorporated, which was where you learn a lot working for a company like that. But then some 14 years in the vegetable oil industry, which involved many years of travelling, literally globally. So I think I was platinum level with three different airlines simultaneously. I did that much travelling. And that was great, you know, for a while. It's fantastic to go all over the world. But eventually I decided that it was time to stop traveling so much and potentially do something different. It is very different working with a small, relatively small business compared to the $2 billion that I was responsible for in the past. But still the same sort of issues. And you quite often have that problem where people say, well, your background's corporate, how can you fit into this small business? But, you know, ultimately it's much of the same thing. It's about making a profit for the shareholders, meeting the customer's needs, and managing cash flow. And it was no different in the corporate world, really.
So a lot of transferable skills that you were able to bring to Red?
I think so, yes. I think so, very much so, yeah.
And how did you find kind of going into the business at a time where it was not in the best place and turning it on its head?
Well, of course, that was part of the challenge, the opportunity, and what often happens in the PE world. A private equity firm has invested in something and then perhaps found it's not going as well as they would like, and they use the term, they parachute in a new CEO to try and have, you know, take a different direction for that business. And so that's often how you get the opportunity to do something like that. And that's what happened in this instance. I did have other offers at the time, but I figured that Red was, although I didn't know anything about running a driving school, it sounded interesting, and we all like driving and I like cars, and I thought, well, why not? It was as simple as that. So I knew what I was going into, in the sense that this was a business in trouble, and I knew I was only going to get so long to make an impact, or we might be looking for something else to do.
And aside from kind of going into a business that needed a bit of help, would you say there's been any other particularly challenging moments of your career that you would like to talk about?
Well, yes, there's one that I always cite as the most stressful week of my life, and I think that's still true. I was 29 at the time, and I'd just been promoted to the chief engineer of a German division of Mars, and the manufacturing director said, right, next year we're hosting the worldwide Mars engineering conference and you're organizing it. To which I said, I don't know anything about conferences. And he said, well, you've got a year to figure it out. What's the budget, was the next question. He said, there is no budget. Make it better than the one last year in Brazil. So it was open house, make it happen. So I interviewed people from all sorts of universities, had consultants come in as speakers for a week-long conference with Mars engineers coming from all over the world. And all that was great, and I had it all in hand, and it was all fantastic. And John Mars was coming, the owner of the business, at the time the third richest man in the world, I believe. And he turns up for this thing, and Monday morning of the start of this conference, the German authorities decided to dig up with pneumatic hammers the cobbled street outside this brand new hotel.
Oh my goodness.
And it doesn't matter how much negotiating I did with the Bürgermeister and the manager of the hotel, they were digging the road up that week and you couldn't hear anything. And John Mars came to me at lunchtime on Monday and said, I can see you haven't been able to solve this problem. He said, where's the conference tomorrow? So overnight I had to relocate the whole thing to another hotel. And I don't think I slept much that week.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. Wow. Well, okay, so...
Learned a lot about me as much as anything else.
I guess it was quite a pivotal point in your career.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on now to the quickfire questions. So there's 10 of them, and you've got 30 seconds to answer each one.
All right.
So
uh-huh.
Are you ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Brilliant. Okay, so describe what you do in one sentence.
Basically, dabble in every department of the business and help the leaders of that department do the best they can.
Why does your business exist?
Because there is an ongoing need for people to learn to drive.
And when did you know you had made it?
I think it was in spring of 2015 when we realised that the business was on the right track. It's when we stopped drawing down cash from the private equity fund to run the business, because we'd got to the point where we were cash generative. We weren't making a profit, but we were now cash generative, and it was only going to be a matter of time.
Who is the one person who has helped you the most throughout your journey?
Oh yeah, that's a tricky one. Certainly in the past I've had very influential bosses, and I've been very lucky that I've had generally great bosses. My chairman at the oil industry was very supportive, still a close friend today, so I think I'd tip the head to my old boss John Goodwin on that one.
How many hours of sleep do you get at night?
You know, I'm getting on a bit in years now. I'm getting less and less. I'm not sleeping well. I think I'm down to about 5 hours.
And how do you manage your time?
At work during the day. You know, I'm fairly loose. I've always said, you know, in management, you need to go where the fire's burning brightest. So I'm across all the different departments. And, you know, if it's going well, I cut myself some slack, as it were. But when there's a problem, that's where I'm going to be. So it's finding this week's problem and dealing with it.
What would you say is your biggest mistake?
You know, you never really know what your biggest mistake was, because in life you get to a crossroads and you can go, I wonder what would have happened if I'd gone this way or that way. So you don't know if there were mistakes. Regrets. I was offered a big job in the US. I turned that down, and I often wondered how life would have panned out had I gone that way. I wouldn't say it was a mistake.
And what would you say is your one piece of advice for other entrepreneurs or kind of business leaders that are looking to start a business around a franchise model?
Well, around a franchise model, you know, is potentially quite difficult. It sounds good that you can engage franchisees, but it's never going to be that easy, because those franchisees have expectations. They're not employees. They're going to be self-employed. They're going to make their own, have their own expectations of business. And it's an entirely different feeling, the relationship between the franchisor and the franchisee, between employer and an employee.
What would you say is the one thing that sets you apart from other entrepreneurs?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say there's anything really. In fact, I'm probably not very good at it. There's an element of right place at the right time. You know, but you, whether you're self-employed or whatever, you're confronted with a problem, deal with it. Find a way to solve any problem. Because people do tend to get stressed because this has gone wrong or that's gone wrong. Trust me, I could talk all evening about stuff that went wrong at Red. But part of the thing that drives it forward is you solve the problem and find a solution and move on.
And just moving on to the last question, one that I'd quite like to know the answer to. What would you say is your party trick?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. I did wonder about this one, but I would say that I have a fairly unique skill that surprised my children recently. And bear in mind, they're all in their 30s. If I can hum it, I can play it on a violin.
No way.
And my own children didn't know this, but in my youth, I played the violin in an orchestra. And on Christmas Day, I amazed my children, who are all grown up, by playing any tune that I could hum.
That's brilliant. I've never heard that one before. Very unique. Thanks for coming, Ian, for being here with us today. Join us next time for another episode of 10 Minutes With, a podcast supported by the PHA Group, where we meet with entrepreneurs and business leaders to find out what makes them unique.